Hello and welcome to the Ladbrokes Racing Roundup. My name's William Geldart. I'm with Ben Stones once again, and we're reflecting on an epic weekend of racing. Plenty of market movers and plenty of reaction from Festival Trials Day at Cheltenham. Massive weekend of Irish racing as well. Difficult to know where to start, Ben, but I think we'll go with the Gold Cup to kick off. Many Clouds cut to 8-1 from 12s for the Gold Cup following his win at the weekend. First Cheltenham winner for Oliver Sherwood since 2000. He's back in the big time. Shown he can do it at the home of Jumps Racing. How big a player do you think Many Clouds is now in this market following this latest win and, of course, his Hennessy victory as well?
I think he's a massive player. I mean, to be perfectly honest, this Gold Cup market's not got a whole lot of strength and depth, to be honest. I mean, there's plenty of horses in there that have got a lot to prove after sort of lackluster starts to the season. And there was a lot to like about Many Clouds' performance. You know, he jumped big at a few of the fences and he really battled on well to stay on up that hill to fight off the two-pronged grey attack, as Simon Holt called it. But yeah, he's 8-1 now. He's got that all-important course form. Certainly, if it came up soft, he would probably be the one I'll be siding with, you know, come that big day in March. I mean, even if there's the word good in the ground, he's got to be taken seriously.
Yeah, definitely. Impressive win of the Betbright Cup for Many Clouds. You mentioned the two-prong grey attack. Dinast and Smad Place, that concerned. In regards to Dinast, where would you run him? You know, he's still obviously got Gold Cup entry, but favourite for the Ryanair, I believe. What do you think? Because he was certainly not disgraced in defeat, but what do you think his best option would be?
Yeah, you're right. He wasn't disgraced, but I think the obvious, you've got to go for the Ryanair with Dinast. I mean, the horses that are in that Ryanair market that are prominent, there's a fair few in there that you can see perhaps defecting. You know, you've got Alpha Roth and Boulder Success who are probably looking like they're going to go for Champion Chase. Jack Adams there, he's quite short in the market. He's obviously Gold Cup bound by the sounds of things. You just think that if Dinast went for the Ryanair, it would be an easier task for him to pick this race than to pick up a Gold Cup when he's got to reverse the form with both Many Clouds and Smad Place and, you know, cope with the likes of, you know, Silver Nyaka Conti and Road to Riches and you know, last year's returning winners. So I think it has to be Ryanair for Dinast. I mean, Smad Place, he's 14-1 now. I think he might be an each way bet, you know, when he gets the better ground come March. Yes, he had £8. He was £8 well in with Many Clouds on Saturday, so he won't have that come Gold Cup day. But I think with the better grounds, there's enough juice in that price for perhaps an each way value come Gold Cup day. But yeah, for me, Dinast, he's got to go for the Ryanair.
There you have it. I'm in agreement as well. I think Dinast definitely should go for the Ryanair too. Another big shake up in one of the other big festival markets, the World Hurdle. The Ladbrokes World Hurdle, we should say. Massive results at the weekend. Even those in defeat at the weekend emerging as positives in the eyes of the bookies. Let's start with Safia de Roe. We weren't sure what this return to hurdles would bring, but Paul Nichols does it again. Similar with Big Bucks, obviously was chasing, switched to hurdles with great effect. Safia de Roe, 7-1 from 9-1 now for the Ladbrokes World Hurdle. And two of his defeated rivals also emerging well, and Tompa 2, 14-1 from 20-1, and the very game, as always, Rev de Savola, 16-1 from 20-1. What do you think we can read into that?
We can read it's going to be quite a competitive race come World Hurdle Day. You know, Safia de Roe, I've read that he's Paul Nichols, he's the apple of Paul Nichols' eye. He really likes this horse. And there wasn't a lot to dislike about the performance on Saturday. You know, three really tough stayers going up that hill. You know, come March, if that's the case again, we're in for a good race. I mean, Safia de Roe looks a very strong 7-1 bet. Rev de Civilla, I think we're going to need to see soft in the going description to see him perhaps at his best come March. I think the 16-1, if we can guarantee there's going to be plenty of giving the ground, the 16-1 might be a decent each way bet. An attempts pour two for David Pipe. He could be an interesting runner. He wasn't beaten far on Saturday, so at 14-1 again, there's plenty of juice in that price.
Yeah, definitely. We might brush up on our French pronunciation before then. Staying with the smaller obstacles and a race that perhaps looks more clear cut. The Triumph Hurdle, Peace and Co. winning again, marching on, cut again. now 2-1 from 5-2. Is there anything in that market, do you think, worth opposing Pete and Co with, or is this one pretty much all sewn up?
Well, it's tricky to say it's all sewn up, but I really like this horse. You know, he pulled like an absolute train for the first, you know, half a mile of the race on Saturday, and yet still won in, you know, authoritative fashion. If Barry Geraghty can get him settled, come Cheltenham, you know, settled on the early stages, you can only see him winning, to be honest. He won, he was going away at the end at Cheltenham on Saturday. He beat the horse Karazak, giving him £3. And you look at the other market rivals, you know, Bristol Demai, owned by the same owners as Peace & Co. He beat him further, but he wasn't receiving weight, but he travelled well early on. So you think if Peace & Co can sort of settle down early, he could sort of match that distance. You've got Hargum, who did beat Karazak by a length and a half, but he was getting £3. He was very well fancied for this race. I just think Peace & Co looks the clear standout for the UK Raiders, and obviously that's reflected in the price. You've got Kalkir in Ireland, but he was turned over by Fiscal Focus, who he was well beaten, obviously, by Hurricane Fly on Sunday, but we'll come to that later. But I can't oppose Peace & Co at the moment, to be honest.
No, I can't find many who can. Definitely in the Cheltenham Bankers column, if such a thing exists. All right, quick word then on the RSA Chase. If in doubt, 20-1 from 50-1 for that, following his Sky Bet Chase win at Doncaster. And you've had a little look at that market as well.
Yeah, if in doubt, he won the Sky Bet Chase quite well. But for me, 20-1, yes, big price. But the RSA looks a very strong renewal this year. And when you've got horses such as Wounded Warrior, who's a graded winner over fences, you know, against some very interesting up-and-coming horses at the same price, and Sausalito Sunrise, he's 25-1. Yes, he hasn't won at a graded level over fences, but he's looked like he can, you know, keep up with them kind of thing. Yes, he came down at Kempton over Christmas, but he was beaten by King's Palace at Cheltenham earlier on in the season, and he gave him a race. Yes, he was well beaten in the end, I suppose, but I don't think Even Doubt should be a shorter price than Sausalito Sunrise, or the same price as Wounded Warrior for that matter. He won't be one for me come March.
Okay, and just to round off on that Saturday action, the market movers, we're looking at the Albert Bartletts. Now, Black Lion, a nap from Saturday's Channel 4 card. Tasted defeat, narrowly, it should be said, to Karachi Apache, albeit by just a head. Eased in the Albert Bartlett betting, 14-1 now from 10-1. Interesting one there. I mean, very strange ending to the race, with Karachi Apache just getting up and hitting the rail, I think, as well. But Black Lion looked like he had that one won, and now eased, as we say. What do you make of that in terms of the betting for that race?
It's tough to say. I mean, turning in for home, you know, Black Lion looked all over the winner. He was travelling the strongest, and Karachi Apache was, you know, being vigorously ridden along by Nico de Boinville. But that one stayed on very well up the home straight, just to deny Black Lion. It's hard to read a lot into that race for me. I mean, he looks like he was beaten fair and square, so, you know, the push out in the price looks justified. But I don't know. I'm going to sit on the fence on that one, to be honest. Well, I mean, at 14-1, that there could be some improvement coming from that horse. It's a very open race, the Albert Bartlett. Perhaps not competitive, so to speak. There's a lot of horses that have got stuff to prove, but it's tough to put my finger on, to be honest.
Okay, and moving back then perhaps to the Cheltenham Bankers theme, and moving on to sort of a roundup of yesterday's Irish racing at Leopardstown. The Irish Arkle win at Undisco. Again, we're going to brush up on those French pronunciations. Now only 4-6 for the Racing Post Arkle at Cheltenham. I mean, we're talking about obviously the triumph from Peace & Co, but this is another level entirely, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, he looks an absolute superstar, but to be getting involved at 4-6 anti-post, you're going to need a very big bank balance. And I mean, you know, we've got nearly 2 months until Cheltenham. It's a long time to be sitting on a 4-6 ticket for a horse that probably won't be much shorter come the day. Yes, he looks all over the winner. I mean, we're quite a way off, like I say, but there's nothing that's looked that quality. You know, he jumped well, he jumped big, and he pulled away from Clarkham, who's no mug, and Gilgamboa, who was in trouble from quite a way out. the only thing that I can see perhaps beating him at Cheltenham is his, you know, the way he goes, he's so free going up front and jumps big, you know, perhaps that fence coming down the hill, you know, if he overjumps that, you could see him sort of doing what he did on his chase debut and perhaps crumpling on landing. But he looks a solid bet. You know, we've only got one horse in the market that's likely to go for this race who's not a double figure price. You know, Joss's Hill is 8-1 and you've got Vortor at 8-1. Vortor looks like he's JLT bound. Other than that, you've got 16-1. So I'm sure there's going to be plenty of each way value in that field. But Undisco looks all over the winner, to be honest.
Yeah, definitely. And I suppose, fittingly, we're going to round off with a look at the champion hurdle market. Hurricane Fly, yet again, performing. 7-1 now from 10-1 for the champion hurdle. The old stager does it again. 22nd grade 1 victory, unbeaten in 10 starts at Leopardstown. Now record-breaking 5th Irish champion hurdle yesterday. We're running out of superlatives here. Even at 11 years old, he ground it out. He had the measure of Jesky. He obviously blundered at the last. But the bigger question, and this is one that's apparently going to be decided at the 11th hour, just to add to the intrigue, who should Ruby Walsh choose at Cheltenham, Fly or Faheen?
Well, yeah, like I say, I can only echo what you said. He's a legend of a horse. I think come Cheltenham, Ruby, he might have to sort of let his head rule his heart. I mean, Faheen's unbeaten, and he's looked, like you say, he's Faheen the machine kind of thing. So I can only see Ruby, you know, making the decision based on what he thinks got a best chance of winning, and I think Faheen is that horse. But going back onto that race on Sunday, you know, Hurricane Fly, he looked like he was struggling turning in. You know, he was being worked on by Ruby, but you know, he really put his head down and battled. He's game as anything. He's like you say, he's into 7-1 now with Jesky at 6-1 for the champion hurdle. That sort of brings him, whereas before he looked like too big a price even after his last victory over the current champion hurdler. But now, with a point between the two, I think with Jesky sort of relishing the spring ground and Hurricane Fly, you know, with that Leopardstown affiliation, with that move to Cheltenham, I think I'd probably rather be on Jesky at the current prices. But, you know, it's shaping up to be a fascinating race. You know, it'd be amazing to see Hurricane Fly roll back the years and pick up a third champion hurdle. But, you know, Faheen does look an absolute beast.
Yeah, so many questions being asked and lots of debate we've seen being had already on social media. So many clues from the weekend's racing. That's about all we've got time for, but don't forget, keep logging on to news.ladbrokes.com for all the latest news and betting previews as the road to Cheltenham continues. And we'll see you again next time.